Hey, food friends, and welcome to the Food Founders Podcast, your number one spot to get mentoring, guidance, and behind the scene learnings to help you understand what it really takes to launch, grow, and scale your packaged food or beverage business. On the show, you'll hear from food founders at various stages of growth, and you'll hear from me and my 14 years of packaged food and beverage experience. Each episode is packed with insights, inspiration, and learning to help you on your food business journey. I'm your host, Ainsley, and this is the Food Founders Podcast. Jump into today's show, I want to thank our sponsor, the Food Brands That Sell program. Food Brands That Sell is a six-week deep dive into the CPG industry and teaches you how to win within that industry by creating a brand that you, retailers, and consumers love. Here's what a recent alumni had to say about the program. I am so grateful that I chose to do Food Brands That Sell. I learned so much about myself, my journey, and my company. These 6 weeks changed how I'm doing my business, and I can see the difference already. I no longer feel alone. If you aren't already on the waitlist, hop on over to foodbrandsthatsellwaitlist.com or grab the link below to make sure that you are first to know when the program is accepting new students. All right, let's dive into today's episode.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Food Founders Podcast. Today, I'm here with the founder of Little Spoon, Angela Vranich, and we're talking about this whole platform of healthy food for children, which if you're a parent out there, you've probably been waiting for a product like this. You probably thought, why doesn't this exist already? And Angela went out there and actually created this. So we're going to be diving in today, hearing a little bit more about Little Spoons and where they're at and what they're working on right now to help make your home a little healthier for your little guy. So Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Could we just open it up for anyone who isn't familiar with Little Spoon? Can you just dive in a little bit more and share a little bit about how you started this and what exactly it is that you guys offer households?
Yes. So at Little Spoon, we're on a mission to make parents' lives easier and kids healthier. So we are building a one-stop shop platform where parents can come for all of their mealtime, snack time, and nutrition solutions from baby to big kid. And really, our vision is to bring the future of kids' food to the modern parents. We launched with our line of fresh baby food, which we call our baby blends, in 2017. And ever since then, we've been growing with our families and launching more and more products so they can stay on our platform longer. Most recently, at the end of last year, at the end of 2023, we launched our line of snacks and lunchers. And that was our first foray into the school age kid space, catering to ages like 4 to 5. And really just, creating healthy mealtime solutions for the modern parent and their kids. And we're entirely direct to consumer, I should say. You can only buy Little Spoon on littlespoon.com.
Okay. I feel like this is a problem that so many modern parents, and I love how you say that, modern parents, because it's true. It's like very different than 10, 20 years ago. A lot of modern parents probably thought the exact same thing. Why doesn't this exist? And we need a better solution out there. Because when you look at the back of a lot of children's food, heck, anyone's food, it really takes it back in terms of what is actually in there. What got you to actually take that passion and that gap that you saw in the market and actually say, I'm the person who is going to go and create a business and actually truly solve this for families?
Yeah. The journey to where we are today, you've over 40 million meals sold later. It's definitely been an interesting and long road and an exciting one for sure. I mean, really, it all goes back to around 2013, 2014 when the idea came to me. So a little bit about my background. I studied marketing in college. I was a business major. Always interested in the food space, the food and beverage space. So when I was in college, I actually started my own marketing company for natural and organic food and beverage brands. So I had a network of several dozen independent contractors that were going into grocery stores and doing like demos and merchandising. And I had several food and beverage clients and was always just like in and around the food space, going to all the trade shows, tracking trends, After college, I worked briefly in like food-related television production, so working on shows for Cooking Channel and Food Network, and was always just really interested in the food space. And around this time, 2013, 2014, it was really when we were seeing a big shift toward fresh in general. So you'd go to Natural Products Expo West and like you'd go and there'd be 10 new juice brands and they're all selling $10 and $12 bottles of green juice. And like everyone's buying them. And then there's fresh dips and there's fresh pet food. And every category under the sun was really being reinvented and brought from like the center aisles to the refrigerator. And baby food was really this glaring category that hadn't been touched in a really long time. So no one was reinventing the baby food category. It was all just shelf stable, the same old shelf stable stuff that you and I probably grew up on. And it was really just a light bulb moment. I'm purely opportunistic because we're straight out of college. I was not a parent. I wasn't really thinking about feeding a child at that time. But it was really like, wow, this is a category that hasn't been touched and there's something that I think I could do here. So started working on a solution and that solution ended up being Little Spoon. Really just working on creating recipes, understanding how we could bring a fresh baby food product to market, which definitely was not easy. Got a lot of doors shut in my face because it is, no one was doing it at the time. Obviously, there's a lot of liability associated with making baby food because it is a very sensitive population. So there were very few co-packers that were interested in taking this project on, but we were able to find someone to take it on for us and really created a whole process and ended up launching the product in 2017.
And when you launched 2017, it was DTC then, like you've always been DTC from day one.
So when we launched, it was direct to consumer. The path to direct to consumer was a long one. So we did actually, when I conceptualized the product, I was thinking that we would sell it in retail. Again, similar to the co-packer situation, there were a lot of retailers that were like fresh baby food, like we've never heard of this, liability, long lines, red tape. It was definitely a little complicated. We did actually end up getting approved in a couple regions of Whole Foods and just got caught up in their corporate bureaucracy of, okay, well, send me this piece of paperwork. And then they take a few weeks to get back. And then it's just like, we were sitting there like twiddling our thumbs. Like we'd produce product. We weren't going to just wait around for the higher ups at Whole Foods to be like, okay, you could finally sell your product. And we're really thinking like, when we took a step back, it was like, okay, people, parents are doing their research primarily online to understand what they want to buy when they go into a grocery store. So if they're doing their research online, we want Little Spoon to be the first thing that they see, and we want to make it very easy for them to buy. And baby food, of course, is repeat purchase. So a subscription model via direct to consumer really just made sense. And so we built out a website and ended up launching direct consumer in 2017 before we even made it to retail. And honestly, it ended up being a little bit of like a blessing in disguise, because I think the direct consumer business model has worked wonderfully for us for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, it does make sense as you describe it there. Everyone's doing the research online. It's a highly sensitive category. A lot of red tape when it comes to anything, baby, children, anything like that. So you just found a workaround, which in hindsight, it makes so much sense. You're right. It was like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, it was great. And we have a very passionate group of customers. I think one of the most wonderful things about being direct to consumer is we do have that one-to-one relationship with our customers. Whenever we launch a new product, whenever we have an announcement, like we have their phone numbers, we have their emails, we know how old their kids are, we know how many kids they have, and we're able to target them very easily with products that they're interested in. And so we have just seen like tremendous success with every subsequent product we've launched. So I think one of the biggest challenges with launching a direct-to-consumer baby food was kids grow up, right? They're only eating baby food for 6 months of their lives, 6 to 12 months, and then they're off your platform. And so, you know, our customers were coming to us and saying, we love your products. We wish you had more things. Our kids are growing up. And of course, we wanted to keep them on our platform for as long as we can. As a direct-to-consumer business, you're paying to acquire those customers, so you want to keep them as long as you can and sell them more and more products. And ever since 2020, because that's when we launched our next product after the baby food, it was our line of plates, so they're ready-to-heat line of meals for toddlers and big kids. we've just been like launching more and more items to cater to different use cases and eating occasions for kids and their families. And so today we have 6 product lines that cater from 6 months to 6 years.
Got it. Makes so much sense with the innovation pipeline that you have and with the different ages. Talk to us about what products you decide to bring forth. Like what are the guiding principles that you have in terms of this product will make sense for our portfolio and for our moms and dads who want to be buying this for this little one? How do you decide what products to bring to market?
When we look at what products to bring to market, we're really looking at the timeline of a child's life. And so if you look at from the time they're starting baby food to the time that they're eating table food, like we want to have a solution at every age and stage. And so if there are any gaps there, that's like an indicator that it's an area that we want to focus on. So I think a perfect example of that is a product that we launched in February 2023 called Biteables. So I talked about our plates, which are these like ready to heat meals for kids. So like healthy takes on kids classics, like healthy chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese, those types of things. We were finding that from the time that parents were going to, were finished with baby blends, the plates were just a little too advanced for their children. So we had a gap there. We needed a solution to help bridge that gap between purees and, you know, bigger chunks of table food, if you will. And so that solution, and we were seeing people drop off, you know, churn out of the blends and not convert to the plates. So we were like, we need to create a solution here. And that solution ended up being Biteables. So the Biteables are like the perfect middle transition between our baby blends and our plates line. They're little cut to size pieces of finger food, easily designed to be put on a high chair. The kids can pinch and pick up, use their pincher grasp, developing oral and motor skills. And we've seen since we've launched that product, parents converting from blends to Biteables to plates and really staying on that platform and just like having this continuity all the way through. And so that's one of the things that we look at when we're launching new products. And really just because we have such a loyal customer base and we have this wonderful consumer feedback loop with them, we're able to just gather really rich insights all of the time. So I'm our chief product officer. And in addition to all the R&D and product development that goes on, the insights function at Little Spoon also falls under me. And we have a really wonderful mechanism for gathering all of these rich insights from our customers because we're able to tap them for little quick surveys, big surveys, and really get an understanding of what the pain points are in their lives and then create solutions around those.
So you're like fully tapped into who your consumer is and what their little ones are looking for, which makes a ton of sense. I'm sure your innovation success rate is incredibly high because of that.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty good. We, of course, we try to push the envelope a little bit. Not everything we come out with is a runaway success. But I think because we do have this just highly engaged group of customers, it does make our jobs a lot easier. We're not really like having to guess or go out and do like third-party focus groups and like decipher results or like what direction we want to go. It really gives us a pretty strong sense of where we should put our focus.
And I'm curious, so we can obviously take the customer journey from 6 months to 6 years, like you said. At what stage in that are you targeting parents? Are you really going after, from a marketing perspective, are you going after capturing those people with a 6-month-old so that you can have that full product life cycle with them? Or are you continuing to target like all different aspects of this journey, people with maybe a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, all the different pieces? Or what's your strategy to capture the right consumers and obviously maximize your customer lifetime value with everyone?
I mean, obviously our perfect customer is someone who comes to us when their kid is first ready to start food and they're starting with us with the blends and they're staying the whole way through. But we really target customers of all ages. Parents have multiple kids of multiple ages. So we're really casting a wide net and trying to get kids of all ages.
And what's your key marketing focus? How are people learning about Little Spoon?
People learning about Little Spoon, I'd say primarily online. So because we are a direct-to-consumer business, we have a pretty robust performance marketing part of the business where we're running digital ads on Facebook, on Instagram, we're doing a little bit of stuff on TikTok. I think I'd say like in the last year to 18 months, I think we've really seen an inflection point where more and more people are hearing about it word of mouth. Even I just see in like my own friend circles or family friend circles, when I talk about Little Spoon, we're like, oh my God, you started Little Spoon? Whereas a few years ago, people would be like, what's that? I also think it has something to do with my age too, obviously, because all of my friends and family are now having kids too. So it's also probably that.
But that word of mouth piece, that makes so much sense, right? Because you have this really trusted network of moms and dads, parents who are on board with this, and it's delivering. And of course, they're going to talk about it because it is a challenging piece, what to feed your little ones for dinner. And you guys are able to solve that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, at the beginning, when you launched, there were a lot of very obvious challenges in terms of people just weren't doing what you were doing, right? Retailers didn't necessarily want to take those risks. Co-packers didn't necessarily want to take those risks. The market has changed quite a bit and people are way more open to that now. And lots of people are recognizing that this is an industry that still needs a lot of shaking up. There was a lot of challenges up at the front with where you were. What about right now where you are? What are some of the current challenges that you're faced with? Knowing that this market has expanded, knowing that we do have a loyal base, regardless of where we are, how long we've been in market, there's always new challenges to tackle in the business. What are some of the big ones that you guys are facing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say really just like we have such a wide variety of SKUs. So we carry over, I should know the exact number, but it's probably over 120 SKUs. And because our target age in each area that we serve is changing so quickly. So you have the baby food, you have the biteables, you have the plates. We have a line of smoothies in a pouch. We have a line of shelf-stable snacks. We have a line of lunchers that are like build-it-yourself lunches. So I think once you add more SKUs, you're working with, we outsource all of our manufacturing today. You're working with more and more co-packers. It just adds extra layers of complication. It's extra things for our entire team to manage. So I would say managing all of those product lines as we grow and managing that number of SKUs definitely becomes a pretty big challenge. And I think with managing co-packers obviously comes many challenges as well, because we've had situations where the output won't be there and we'll have to go out of stock of something, or just procurement in general. Maybe we can't get a certain ingredient on the timeline that we need it. So I think just like supply chain and managing all of that when you have so many SKUs and so many co-packers that you're working with can become quite complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of SKUs that you have to manage on an ongoing basis, and managing all of that and just making sure that production's running and everything's running smoothly. For sure.
There have been a few sleepless nights.
Oh, I imagine. You mentioned, I really see one of the unique pieces about you guys that you have this really great brand loyalty and you have this user base that's going to share feedback with you, and they're going to share with you like what's working, what's not working, where the brand can go. Other than having great product, what do you think has led to building that brand relationship that you have with your consumers, where you're able to really have this strong bond with them and this continuous feedback loop?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think a lot of it comes down to brand and consumer voice. When we set out to create Little Spoon, one of the things we noticed with the baby food market in particular was the baby food. A lot of the baby food brands out there weren't really like catering to the voice of the modern parent. It was like a lot of baby talk, cheesy sounding product names with cheesy graphics. And it's the baby, the 6-month-old baby is not the one making the purchasing decision. It is the mom or the dad. And like it's the modern parent. And the modern parent, those graphics and copy, like it's just not resonating with that. And so we really wanted to create a brand that would felt like it could seamlessly integrate into the modern parent's life and lifestyle. And so I think we do that across all of our product lines. Like feeding your kid should be fun and cool, and you should feel great about what you're feeding them. It shouldn't be like you shouldn't just be like, it should feel like an extension of you. And I think part of the brand voice and the branding is really what has created that loyal following. I also think we're really thoughtful. We really care deeply about the customer experience. And it's not just like about the food experience. It's like about the packaging that it comes in. What does it look like when it shows up to your home? What's coming inside of the box? What does the email communication say to you? And we also try to like include these nice little touches, a card on your child's first birthday, or a surprise and delight here and there. Maybe we're doing a partnership with a candy company and we'll throw like little freebies in the box. I think those types of things go a really long way and help build that loyalty with the customer.
That makes so much sense. I'm sure. Yeah. As you said there, it's like an extension of the parents. It makes so much sense. Sorry, Gerber, but you're just not connecting with the modern
parents
anymore. Like, and you guys have an app. Talk to me about where people can go and get Little Spoon and like what is the ordering process look like? Are they just ordering directly from your website? I know you guys do have an app that people can order through. What does all that look like?
Yeah. So we actually don't have an app yet, but it's something that we're thinking a lot about. We've had a lot of conversations about, but you can order our products exclusively through littlespoon.com. So when a parent comes to our website, they'll fill out a small survey about their child, tell us about their child's eating habits, their child's age. We're able to make age-based recommendations based on what they tell us. And then they really have the option to choose from whatever of our products they would like in their box. And we ship directly to their homes. And there's the whole account management experience. You can pause or cancel at any time. You can swap out things in your box. And we're always coming out with new and exciting products to keep things fresh for our customers.
Really easy, really seamless process throughout it all. And a no-brainer for the modern day parent who doesn't want to, I don't know, go with some of the old products that are out there anymore that you probably don't feel that great feeding your child. So this is such a great innovation. I'm so excited to see this out there and see it continue to grow. And for anyone who is maybe seeing an opportunity in the market similar to how you did, and you're like, hey, this category really needs to be shaken up, what advice would you have for someone early in the food business who is thinking about starting something and just not really sure how? You've been at this for a while. You've learned a ton of pieces along the road. What advice would you have?
So I could give, there's a lot of advice I could give. There are many different things that I feel like I could say to this question. But I think one of the biggest learnings I've had on my whole journey is really know what you don't know. Understand your blind spots and hire people around you who are experts in that area. Early on in the process, it can be hard to do that. But I think just asking for advice, working with consultants if you're unsure of what to do or where to go. I run our product function at Little Spoon, and I always say, I'm not a food scientist, but I have 6 of them on my team. I can cook. I love the culinary aspect of coming up with the recipes, but there are definitely, as we've grown, more technical food challenges that I would not be equipped to handle. And really hired those people around me who have been like a wonderful resource, a wonderful asset, and have enabled us to move even faster than we would be able to. So I would say, just understand what you don't know. Don't think that you have to do everything yourself just because like you're the founder of the business. It's okay to not know the answer to a question and really go out into the world and find someone who can help you.
Very sage advice. Angela, thanks for sharing your story today. And thanks for bringing Little Spoon to life. You've made a lot of parents and a lot of babies and toddlers and kids happy along the way. So thanks for sharing your story and look forward to watching you continue to grow. Again, for anyone who wants to get their hand on some Little Spoon, where can they find you?
You could find us at littlespoon.com.
Perfect. All right. Everyone, go head on over to littlespoon.com if you've got a little one that you want to get some healthy food into their bellies. Angela, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's it for this week, food friend. Thanks for tuning in. If the show helped you in any way, please go ahead and leave a rating or review of the show below. I also want to thank our sponsor one more time, the Food Brands That Sell program, the program to transform how you navigate the CPG industry and ultimately sets you up for success within it. go ahead and get yourself on the waitlist using the link below, or you can put yourself on the waitlist at foodbrandsthatsellwaitlist.com. Catch you next time, food friend.